Africans at home and throughout the diaspora. Unity is strength. We've got the power.
Stop the fussing and the fighting. Now's the time to do the right thing.
We need more unity.
Come.
Stop the fussing and the fighting. Now's the time to do the right thing.
In the spirit of umoja, embrace with love.
Let's do it right now. We've got to do it right. Stop the fussing and the
right
fighting.
Right now, right now.
Now's the time to do the right, right thing.
Yes, yes, this is Jamala Rogers, your host with Voices from the Battlefield, and welcome to the show. We are not going to be fussing and fighting. We're going to be working together because we got a lot to do, you all. We really do. And we are, you know, prepared for that. We got folks in the studio who have been fighting on many different fronts, and you'll get to meet them in a minute. But I do want to say that all comments and views on this show that I express are those mine and not those of Harrisville State University or Black Radio Hall of Fame. And hopefully some of those comments and viewpoints you might want to adopt as your own. Because I always say my viewpoints are not really mine. They are a combination and a compilation of all that I've heard and seen and experienced. So I just feel like I got the people's voices in my head all the time. So I do want to first comment on the longshoremen's strike that's going on right now. And most of you all probably have never heard of the longshoremen, but they are the ones who are working the ports across the country. And when they decide to shut down, this country stops. So already there's been billions of dollars lost in trade. But these people only do that. They are not irresponsible in their power. They only do that when it's absolutely necessary. And this is one of the first times that I've seen that it was really about wages, because they have done some phenomenal things to support various, you know, political issues that are important, including during this U.S. anti-apartheid movement, they shut those ports down. When there were companies who were in trade with South Africa, and they played a hell of a role in that particular struggle. So they are asking for 77% raise over a five-year period. They also are concerned about automation at the port. And I've noticed this is a continuing issue that I've seen in labor contracts now, is about AI. As y'all know, AI might be good, but it's taking some jobs. And so you do have to be careful about how those things get infused into the job market. So the longshore people, they definitely are about that. And I heard someone ask if the 77% raise, if they were worthy of it. And I'm telling you, they are. And we need to be fighting for everybody else to get a 77% raise over a five-year period. Because, as you know, whenever you get a raise, inflation kicks in and then it nullifies whatever you thought you were going to get. And it reminded me when we were fighting for $15 an hour, and it was mainly for fast food workers and healthcare workers. People were saying $15, that's too much for a fast food worker. But yeah, look at that. They were still making really poverty wages. And it's, now it's $15 and it's still poverty wages. So we got to take a serious look at how we fight for wages and who gets what. We need not to pit ourselves against one another. We need to fight for what's fair for whatever job you're doing. And that is the reality of it. So I'm going to give you three of the pointers that I've used over the years about how to look at organized labor. One is you never cross the picket line. Two is you always support the workers' strike, the workers' demands over the company demands. And you always find out ways to support them. So sometimes they say, bring us water. Sometimes they say, don't shop at this particular place. We're going to do all of that, y'all, because that's what empowers the workers. And actually, that brings all of us into the fold in the fight. So if you have some doubts about, like, how do you proceed, always you're on the side of the worker, not the side of the company. So having said that, we are going to shift to talk about a sister who left us far too soon. I'm talking about Cora Faith Walker, who now has a foundation to keep her legacy alive. And, you know, we had a couple of mothers over the last few months who have lost daughters, and they are committed to fighting for justice, whatever that looks like. Now, in this case, this was a natural death, so it wasn't a police murder or, you know, anything like that. But still, when you have a child that leaves so soon and they were doing so much, you want to make sure that we remember them and, two, that their legacy lives on. So I want to introduce Robin Drew, who is the mother of Cora Faith Walker and one of the superb volunteers for the foundation. And you might know her from being a part of the Board of Alders, and that's none other than Christine Ingracia. So welcome to the show.
Glad you're here. Glad we're here.
Yeah, thanks for the invitation. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, most people who've heard the name Cora Faith Walker know her from being an elected official, because first she was a state rep. But her last job was with the St. Louis County, and she was, you know, there doing health advocacy. And I remember one of her sayings is, good policy is always good politics. And I think that that's real. That's very true. And I know that one of the things that that brought us two together was we both were passionate about women and children and both fierce fighters for racial justice and racial equality. And so one of the things I thought about recently was when this whole continuing saga around P. Diddy, now it's up to 125 folks who say that they were wronged by him. But the thing that I zeroed in on is the way that women were treated at these parties, including allegedly girls. And so that really just does something to me. And I remember the last time me and Cora were together, we were at the St. Charles Arena when R. Kelly was performing. And we wanted to continue that struggle against what we thought was a predator. And eventually he was convicted and is now serving time. But that's the kind of passion she was. She fought on many fronts. Give her a microphone, she's comfortable there. Give her a gavel, she's comfortable there. Give her a picket sign, she's comfortable there. Give her a typewriter, she's comfortable there. So she is, I just think, one of these rare gems that left us too soon, and that, you know, we have to find ways to lift up that legacy. And, you know, we talked about not really being sad, even though it was sad that she was only with us for 37 years. But it's so much left that she would have wanted to do. And I think that's what the foundation is all about. So I just want to, you know, first of all, ask you, Robin, what do you think was her legacy?
Oh. Yeah, okay. So I think her legacy is one of being a fierce advocate, as you say, for especially people that she felt didn't have a voice. She recognized that gift that she had of speaking truth to power. That's another thing she used to say. And when it came for standing for up for others, she put her own health to the side. There were many times when I felt like I wanted to just keep her and just, but she would never let anything stop her from going out, whether it was people whose homes or apartments were being, that were rat infested or whatever. She would go out and she would strike or people who were, their union had not, well, the union was not being recognized. She would go out and stand in the fronts there. Just so much for young people. I'm an educator, a retired educator. And for years, I worked in the system, in the school system, in the classroom, and we would get breakfast before many of the children got a chance to eat. I don't even really realize, I don't think I knew that that was part of her efforts here in Missouri to make sure children's stomachs were full before they began the day. When I found that out, I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
So yeah, there were so many things that she advocated for, were willing to fight for, and I think that's that legacy. I think that's the thing that I'm proud of more than anything.
Absolutely. And for you, Christine, what is it for you, the legacy that you remember?
Wow, it's an incredible legacy. Cora Faith was everywhere, on top of every issue that I think the three of us share and many in our region do, reproductive health rights, women and children, survivors of sexual abuse, health equity, I mean, you name it, she was involved. And she was a force to be reckoned with. I remember one of the first times I met her, I was down in Jeff City testifying on a bill. And when I listened to her go toe-to-toe with her colleagues there, it was one of the most impressive things I've ever witnessed. Sharp as a tack, couldn't have been more intelligent, funny as a whip. And so that's one of the reasons why I think it's just wonderful that the foundation has come together the way that it has, because her work was not done, and we'll make sure that the fight continues.
One of the things that you made me think about is when she's in a room, she's very commanding. I don't care what space it is. It could be in the halls of legislature. It could be, like I said, on the picket line. But you are going to know that she's there. And I say that not because she was arrogant, because really she was just the opposite. She was very self-confident, but at the same time very humble. And I think that's what attracted folks to her, particularly young women. And I would see it with my very eyes, like people just drawn to her. And I'm like, this is going to be a phenomenal leader here. And, you know, whatever support I could give her. But I myself was in awe. And I know I'm old enough to be her mama. But, yeah, I'm like, wow, this is truly a gem. But I've seen her operate in spaces where you could tell it's not about her. Which is hard for that generation. It's not about her. And she always made it very clear it's about this issue or it's about that issue. It's not about me. But she had a presence that just beauty inside and out. Always a big smile. I mean, she just lit up a room. And if people didn't get a chance to know her, you know, it is a tragedy that you did not get to interact with her. But hopefully you will find ways to support the foundation. And so let's talk about the foundation. When was it established? You know, who are some of the movers and shakers in there? And what have you all done? And I'm saying that because I already know, but I think our listeners should know as well.
So, yes, I will speak to that because when CORE transitioned, of course, you know, we were, of course, overwhelmed with grief initially. But then my husband and I would find that we would be anywhere and someone would come to us and say, you know, I need to tell you what your daughter did for me. And I was just blown away because we were mom and dad.
Right.
We were here to support her and we tried to support her personally. To be honest, for most of the time, I was oblivious to the professional impact that she made in the community. I mean, she would drag me to some of the events, and I would go, Mom, you got to go with me here because, you know, this and that. And I would meet people. But having a clear understanding of her work, I didn't. So when I had so many instances where that happened, I said to my son, I said, you know, I mean, I think we need to start a foundation of some sort. Well, and another thing, when she passed, a lot of people sent money, okay? And I think that's what people do. And who we are and have been, we had no reason to use the funds ourselves.
Right.
You know? So that was another reason that to figure out a way to use those funds to continue the work that she felt so passionate about and did, I think, without a lot of fanfare because we didn't even know the work that she was doing, right? So, and my son is, John is my son. He doesn't live here, but loves his sister so much. And he said, well, Mom, let's do it. And so here we go. And before we know it, we had the Core Faith Walker Foundation. And we launched it on her birthday, following November. She transitioned in March. We launched the foundation at Washington University, her beloved Washington University. She had a wonderful professor there by the name of Dr. Tim McBride, who said, yeah, we're here because, you know what, she was in the inaugural Brown School policy, health policy class, and had been named one of their, some scholar that they named after she'd finished school and everything. He said, but yes, we will do it. And so we did. We launched it, and I was blown away by the response and the support and the founding donors who said yes, you know. So just kind of, I'm going to let Christine come in, but I do want to say the foundation is based on three principles: courage, compassion, and faith in our future. And so those are the things that kind of drive the direction of what we do.
And so as a volunteer, what are some of the things you're able to do and contribute? And I know you have lots of skills and talents that you could bring to the foundation. How have you tried to use that to move?
I've tried to let the Drews let us know what they need help with, and that seemed to fall pretty neatly into place with their annual event planning. So last year we were able to do something a little bit bigger and better than the inaugural fundraiser. We did a brunch. It was extremely well attended. I can't remember. Do you remember off the top of your head how much we raised?
On the other side of $30,000.
It was pretty phenomenal event. Mm-hmm. And this year for her 40th birthday, we're going to be doing a gala in the evening with a Harlem Renaissance theme, which I think is really exciting. There's going to be live music, great dinner, some free drinks, an auction. And so, yeah, it's just been really wonderful to work with all the family members. I think that a couple of us are now just part of the Drew family for all the times we've spent hanging out at their house or having a game night and doing event planning. So it's been really wonderful for me because I do miss Cora quite a bit and see so much of her in her mom and dad.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because one of the things that you have to do is when you see a child, you have to wonder, what do the parents look like? And then when you see them, whether it's bad, good, or indifferent, you say, oh, now it makes perfect sense. And in this case with Cora, it definitely does. Now, you all had an auction at the last one at Squires. Mm-hmm. And the reason that's so vivid to me is because me and Alder person Rasheem got into a fight over one of those items, but he won. I let him win.
It's hanging up in his apartment. I've seen
yeah it. He reminds me of that. So it was a really nice thing, and I'm assuming these were donated items, but they were they were not like some skimpy stuff, y'all. There was some really nice stuff. So I know one of the things that the foundation is doing, and I know this would be definitely dear to Cora's heart, and that's the scholarships. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, it seems that, of course, when we started, you know, we didn't know what we were really doing. We were just trying to, what we say, thought, meet some needs. But it seems that we've kind of honed in the direction of scholarships. Very proud to say we've given four. We did two our first year. And I'm so happy to say the first two scholarship recipients are here at Harris Stowe State University.
I say.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, two wonderful young people that I'm in contact with. Very proud to say they're great. And then this year we gave two scholarships. We opened it up to anyone, really. Our first year I think we had like four applicants. This past year we had 12. And we have a young lady that's connected with Harris Stowe who is really instrumental in getting us applicants. I'm sad to say that sometimes I think a lot of, especially people who look like me, young people who look like I did, we just really don't know what's out there. Mm-hmm. And so we just think we got to do whatever it is we've got to do. And these are not huge scholarships, but I'm pretty proud to say they've been $2,500 up until this point, mm-hmm. per person. Mm-hmm. And I had a young person that I'm with out in North County say to me one day, "Ms. Drew, you don't think $2,500 is a lot? I went to Flow Valley, and $2,500 would have made such a difference for me.
Almost covered the whole year.
Yeah, it put what we're doing in perspective, mm-hmm. and of course, our efforts with our gala and the other fundraising efforts we've had is to develop a really good foundation so that can even grow and to the point where our kids will be working very hard to achieve that or earn that scholarship. So
what are some of the criteria for getting the scholarship? Because I know it's not all y'all come and whoever, none of that.
No.
Because the bar of excellence for CORE was fairly high.
And you know, that's true. So the person has to, of course, complete an application. They actually have to write an essay that will indicate how they hope to help make their community a better place in true CORE Faith Walker fashion. The two recipients that got the scholarship this year, I was just blown away. And like I said, it was a large field. I mean, a pretty large field comparatively from last year. But oh my. And one of the young men who earned the scholarship is at Tuskegee University, okay. which is our home.
Okay.
That's our home. We CORE grew up in Tuskegee. And then one is at Hampton University.
Okay.
Yes, also excellent person, young person. Trying to develop a cohort of young people who want to be active in their community and take a proactive approach to making it better. I mean, we've listened to social media, we've listened to the media that's pretty much, to me, have given this impression that our children aren't trying to do great things. And this scholarship is designed to let them know that, yes, they are, and we're going to support them in every way we possibly can.
And it reminds me that sometimes it's difficult to be a change agent, and young people don't know how to go about that. But if they even so much as take a glimpse of CORE's legacy and what she was able to do before she passed, then they see that it's not that difficult. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You get in where you fit in, mm-hmm. and you get in where you're passionate. Mm-hmm. And so both of you all have got in where it's passionate. Obviously, education was that for you. And you've been a public servant for over a decade. What would we tell our young people about how to transform the society? Because it obviously it's not working for everybody. And it particularly is not working for women, particularly not working for folks of color. But for young people who see all of this negativity all of the time and people like, you aren't going to be anything. You're not. How do we cut through that with a scholarship that says, here is a woman who was young, and here's what she was able to do in that short time, and you can too? What else can we tell our young people about the role? No matter what, if you're a social worker, you're still supposed to be a change agent. If you are a plumber, you better be a change agent. Whatever you are, and this is what I tell young people, whatever you think you want to do as a career, you're going to have to still be about transformation wherever you are. So what things have you seen, at least from the first recipients, about what they are deciding to do with their life or what particular area that they're going into? What is their degree, mm-hmm. What's the field that they're interested in? And if that's not enough of an indicator, are they doing some things in the community that you say, aha, they get it, mm-hmm. they get it?
So I will. Like I said, we had a dinner, so because we wanted the first year's recipients to meet the second year recipients. So we took them to dinner, the foundation did, and because we want them to establish a cohort. We want them to be willing to. And I was so impressed with this year's group. They studied. Their essays were amazing. The young man that's at Tuskegee, I just said, you know, you sound just like Cora Faith. Because, I mean, he's just so hyper aware of his surroundings and what needs to change. He's determined he wants to be an attorney or a policy person. He wants to be a policy person. I mean, he may not go that route. I think what we do, I'm just going to say this right quick, is to let them know that you're okay. Whatever it is, as long as you are trying to make a difference in the lives of people for the better, whatever gets you there, you're okay.
And the starting point is making yourself better.
Right.
And them reaching out to get the scholarship is part of that.
Exactly, exactly. And we're here to support that. We're here to support that.
And so, Christina, do you have a role in recruiting or promoting the scholarship?
I don't, but if Mama Drew wants me to, at some point I definitely will. But to add on to what you were both mentioning, I think the scholarships are important, but even outside that, just keeping Cora Faith's name out there and the work that's happening is inspiring in and of itself. And I do think that young people, it's helpful for them to hear about someone like Cora because the amount of time and work and passion she had for the issues that she cared about and the people that she cared about was pretty unparalleled, and apathy is a huge problem. So the more we talk about the fact that you might not get everything you want, even in your lifetime, but there'll be small incremental changes, and the more people that are involved, the better off we're all going to be if we're working for change.
Yep.
And I would say because she chose electoral politics as one of those arenas to fight in, I can't think of any more challenging arena, because particularly now, but she chose that, she fought there, and so even looking at what she was able to accomplish as a elected official, as a public servant, is proof enough for other folks to say, hey, no matter where you are, you can make a difference. And like you said, even if it's incremental, like sometimes it takes a while for that stuff to really manifest itself. Because you talked about like the lunches and breakfasts for children. You know, who would have thought that that would be an issue for schools in America? How important food is at the school level. And so you just never know when you plant that seed what's going to grow. And sometimes it takes a while. But, you know, for young people who are, you know, grew up in a fast-paced world where everything is instant and gratification must be instant, I think watching Cora Faith over the years would kind of slow that process down so that they could see the intentionality of what she was doing. And you talked about the research that folks did. Hopefully it was some research about what she's accomplished so they could say, aha, I think I could do that and more.
Absolutely. I think that is part of that. I don't want to forget about the Medicaid expansion and what that meant to her. She just felt like just health, mental health, you know, our physical health, all of those things. I mean, even to the point of, I remember her saying to me one time about the police shootings and how that was a function of policy and health care. And it would be hard for me to understand what she was saying. She was saying, yeah, but Mom, it all goes back to policy and health care. She was adamant about it. She's kind of had tunnel vision when it came to that. She just knew those things. I do want to say this real quick. I don't want to go without saying it. At the gala, we will premiere a song that was written in her honor. It's crazy how this has come to be, because I'm still in awe of it. But I have a very good friend. We moved here to support and be with Cora from Nashville 7 years ago. And I had a very, very good friend there by the name of Steve Miller, who is he's a songwriter and a poet. And when she passed, he wrote this poem called Dance Wide. chorus song. And I mean, it's a beautiful poem and everything, but someone he knew read it. And so now it's actually been produced from someone from Florida. It's been performed.
Oh, wow.
They're doing...
You mean it was performed in Florida before it was performed here?
It hasn't been. It hasn't actually been released yet.
I'll sit back down. Okay.
But, yes, but it, and when you were talking about how do you get young people to become, but just one of the recurring pieces of the song is, you have a song waiting there inside that's calling you to dance. Dance why? But it's it's beautiful. And so we will premiere it at the gala.
Okay.
But they're releasing it, and I'm very happy to say he's such a good friend of mine, and he's a wonderful person. All proceeds from the song, they're going to release it on Spotify and everything, will go to the foundation. So we got people out there that want the Cora Faith Walker Foundation to be a success. We got everyday people that are calling us up saying, you know, we'll sponsor this. We know we'll do that. We had a wonderful person who wasn't going to run for office again. And when she, however that works, whatever was left, she says, I'm donating it to the Cora Faith Walker Foundation.
Okay.
So we're very, very fortunate, aren't we?
But I think those are good ways to let people know how they can be involved, because you don't have to be on the board of the foundation. There's so many ways that you can contribute. One of them is promoting those scholarships, because there's young people in need. One of them is just talking about her legacy. And again, I'm just going to go back to being a public service and a servant, and how difficult it is these days to maintain your dignity, maintain your integrity, and still get the work done. And Kristen, you know about that. And so I think when people look at all the negative things about what elected officials are doing, they're embezzling money, all of this. And so here's somebody that says, no, you can be in that swamp and still get some stuff done for your people, for your community.
Absolutely. And Cora Faith had a lot of grace about that, because she got, rolled through the trenches completely unfairly and unjustly a number of times, and still ended up with her head held high. And I know that was not easy for her behind the scenes, but the way she handled it was extremely impressive. And as most of us know, the media usually, tells part of the story or not even in any of the truth of a story, and people will buy into it. But she did not that prevent her from getting the work done.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us, this is Jamala Rogers, your host of Voices from the Battlefield. And we have in the studio Christine Ingracia, who's been working with the Cora Faith Walker Foundation, and Mama Drew, who is the... See, sometimes you have to say... You start with the person that people know. So this is, even though she has persona of her own, Cora's mama is in the house. And so we are so honored to have both of them talking about the Cora Faith Walker Foundation. And you've heard about all of the ways that you can support it, the ways that people are supporting it. And as far as I'm concerned, it's already successful. Because the fact that it's still almost three years later, it's going to be a big to-do on Cora's 40th birthday, and people are going to want to do more for it to keep it going. I mean, I don't know if you all have thought about what's the thing that you, the pot of money that you have that keeps things going. What is that called?
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
I think what you mean is, like, our goal would be that the money that we raise could raise interest, and then we would be able to, like, sort of like an endowment fund.
Yeah, the endowment. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So yeah, because most of the money is not spent for anything other than scholarships and helping. And so you talked earlier, and you wearing a T-shirt. That's going to be one of the fundraising items, the merchandise. So talk about that.
Well, yes, we have merch. we just need to make it available. We have these wonderful black T-shirts with white lettering that was designed by one of our volunteers, Lisa Cagle, and it has the levels of support on the back and the foundation logo on the front, and we're going to make these available. The gala this year, which is to commemorate or will commemorate her 40th birthday will be on November 8th, which is a Friday, the Friday after Election Day, as a matter of fact.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Cora's birthday is Election Day, November 5th. But we decided to not try to have it on that day. So we're either going to be celebrating or we're going to be
in a bunker somewhere.
We are not going to commiserate because we are going to be acknowledging that as the anniversary of the 40th anniversary of her birth. We will celebrate.
Absolutely.
We will have music and dancing and just hopefully have a gala of a time.
And that would be the way Cora would want it.
Absolutely.
So talk about, you talked about, I think, when it is, but where is it going to be? People get tickets? How do they get tickets? How do they learn more about the foundation? I know there's a website.
Okay, yes. It will be at Orlando's in Maryland Heights. They can go to the website at www.corefaithwalkerfoundation.org and collect. Now, we have a social media platforms. We do have social media platforms. We've got Twitter. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Yes. We have a wonderful young social media group that keeps us up front and forward, which we're appreciative of. I think you can click on the link in the bio. I think that's how it goes. And it'll take you to the foundation website where you can purchase the tickets. I'd like for people to be aware of the fact that this is a fundraiser.
Absolutely.
We're trying.
Don't be afraid to say that
right,
now. Go ahead.
Right. The tickets are $200. We did do an early bird sale, and some people jumped in on the early bird, which was good. But I know some of us wait to the last minute or whatever. But I also believe that I'm a firm believer. If it's a cause or if it's something that you believe in, you will do what you want to do. And we'd love to have you there celebrating with us. We're going to have a red carpet. We're going to be dressed in our 1920s, roaring 20s attire. The theme of the gala is a renaissance of faith. And so many of the things that are going to focus on are part of the Harlem Renaissance. And the wonderful things that were a contribution to our culture and our history as a country and a world during that time. So,
and I think that's totally appropriate in a post-election. And even even before the election is just crazy. But I think, again, in the spirit of Cora, mm-hmm. she would want to say, here's something different. Let's look at a different kind of world and what we're living in and how can we do that. But envisioning what a renaissance would look like in this country after November 5th.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I attribute the volunteers with that. I couldn't have come up with that to save my life, but I love the thought, and I felt like it was.
I really think you have to know her to feel what she would have felt and to take some of these ideas and say, this is Cora. We're going to manifest it. This is Cora. We're going to, you know, magnify it. And in that way, it can't help but inspire people, really. It can't. So I'm going to, you know, we just have a few minutes left. What else do we need to know about Cora Faith Walker? And you alluded to some of the challenges, Christine, but I remember at the time of her death, there were lots of negativity about like what had happened when truly it was a natural cause of death. But we sometimes linger too much on the negative and the death part. And for me, and this is I guess my own issues, that when somebody abruptly leaves us like that, it's very hard for me to accept. It takes a long time. So there's people still in my phone book. You know, I just have a difficult time because I keep saying, why? You know, what would they be doing? It's unfair. I mean, I go through all of the grieving stuff. But and Cora is one of those people I keep going back to, like, why? And the fact that she had a particular condition, even though she was always about health, makes me then want to concentrate more on people understanding health in a different kind of way, in a personal kind of way. And then you get to see how health affects a community. And so I just think that there's so much there in her life that we can pull out those gems and give to people to say, here's what Cora would have thought about that, or here's what Cora did about that. Because she was not always one for just talking. I mean, she was a doer and making people believe in what she could do. Because there were a number of naysayers just because she was a woman and she was black. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that. And she proved a lot of people wrong. So I just think that we need to figure out ways that we can lift her up. And so I'm just honored that both of you all could come here today and talk about Cora, the person, but also the foundation, which is going to be the thing that keeps her animated, that keeps her alive. And we'll be making the announcement about the gala. Now, again, I know you were hesitant about talking about the price of that ticket, but I also know that people have paid that much and more for these concerts, and you got Usher coming in. Wonder how much those tickets are going to cost. So let's try to, what's the word I'm looking for? Prioritize where we spend our money and our time so that we have something afterwards to show for it. And I guarantee you, you invest in a ticket, and even if you can't afford a full ticket, just make a donation towards the foundation. Buy a shirt. Absolutely. There's so many ways you can do that. So any parting words, Christine and Mama Drew?
I would just say, to follow up to your point, the $200 is a hell of a deal because it gets you a dinner, an open bar, live music, dancing, and some real camaraderie with some like-minded folks. So I don't think $200 is too much to ask at all, and I'm looking forward to partying with everybody on November 8th.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, and remember, you all, we said this is after the election. We're going to need something upbeat. We're going to win, but it's still not over. It's not over. And so I think this is going to be a good post-election celebration of somebody who was making a difference, who would be appalled by all this craziness that's going on and would have said so in her own words. So, but thank you for being with us. A couple of announcements. Next week on the show, we are nearing the anniversary of the October 7th, attacks in the Gaza area. And so we've had a couple of folks come and talk about that. But there's been so much that's happened in the last month. And you keep wondering, how can a country as small as Israel be fighting in three different fronts? What? So we're going to have Alam Jaber come back and give us an update. And we're going to talk about what's going on in Lebanon, the attacks there, Yemen. The ongoing genocide is still going on in Gaza, but now it's expanded. And so we want you all to be aware of that, because, again, y'all, none of this could happen without the complicity of the U.S. government, who is doing that in our name with our money. That's why we got to be concerned. So the other thing that's coming up this week is there is a tribute to Percy Green, a three-day event, Afro Day in the Park. I don't have all the details of what happens, but I know starts the 5th at Fairground Park, which is where all the historic Afro Days at the Park happened. Then there's going to be an event on the 6th, and then on the 7th, there's a march from the old courthouse to the Gateway Arch. So, again, I don't have the details, but you can call 314-243-1021 and see how those events are formatted, because there's no time. I don't know. I don't know. You just sent me the thing and said announce, but I might have to do some calling myself to see what's going on. So, again, if you've missed any of the shows, you can go to JamalaRogers.com. Get those shows, including this one. So you're never far away from missing, or sometimes I have to go back to the shows to get some information from some of the guests, because, these folks come packed with information, knowledge, and I'm taking notes just like y'all are out there. And so sometimes I have to go back, and because I write, those tidbits of knowledge are very helpful. Again, JamalaRogers.com, go there. You can also pick up any events that we're announcing on this show are also on that website. So there's a lot there. Anything else? I'm trying to think that's going on. Other than it's going to be election, y'all. Get your election plan together because this is serious business here. But I really do think you got enough to digest for now. So this is Jamala Rogers, your host, and I will see you on the battlefield.